Wasn't pretty, but they got the win in game one. And man, there's been some electrifying games for me anyway. Without a doubt, the best game of the tournament, I think, thus far, had to have been the game between Nigeria and Sweden. It was unbelievable yesterday if you watched that. Dan Dunleavy, who is calling all the games, joins us now. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
Doing excellent. What did you think of that that Nigeria-Sweden game?
Well, it's exactly what the tournament needs, isn't it? I mean, you need, aside from getting excited about Canada and cheering on the home nation, you need to be able to flip on the tube and catch another match that maybe catches your imagination and also catches your attention and the whole spirit of competition. And the way that one went back and forth, it's just great for the tournament. And you hope that we see more matches like that. Obviously, while we wait for Canada to have their second match here, it's a long time between games, so it's good to have those matches for sure.
Dan, you've called a lot of hockey. Soccer is such a different pace and a different game to call. How have you approached it?
Well, for the past 8 years, I've been with Toronto FC and MLS, and I've called their games every summer. So it's still a switch that you have to flick when you step out of the hockey arena and over to the soccer pitch, and you tend to slow it down a little bit. You tend to just kind of relax and let the game take over, whereas obviously, as you well know, in hockey, the game is so fast, and you've got to really keep up with the pace of it. With soccer, as I say, you kind of let it unfold. You let the play develop. You maybe tell a story or two, a little bit different on radio than television where you've got more room to do that. But, you know, you take a bit of a breather. There's a lot more, depending on which stadium you're at. You know, for MLS in Portland was always a favorite place to go to just because the fans were so good. You could actually lay out from calling a lot of the action because the atmosphere in the stadium would just bleed over the radio, or you could see it and hear it on the television set. And you can just let the play kind of do its thing, just like golf. You have golf commentators, but a lot of times you don't really need the commentators to step in. You can see the shot, and you know how many feet the guy is away from the cup and what have you. But for soccer, it's just a little bit, you know, it's always the first game after a hockey season to kind of lay out a little bit, take a breath, and as I say, just kind of let the game do its thing.
Looking ahead now for Canada's game against New Zealand on Thursday. New Zealand already lost their first one. Canada can put themselves in an excellent position to not only win the pool, but definitely move on. What's going to be the biggest challenge against the Kiwis on Thursday?
Well, to withstand a bit more of a press. I mean, China really didn't bring a lot of press to the match in the first game. The press that they did bring, Canada brought on themselves, and they had the sloppy play of the ball in the back line, as you are well aware of, and the passes that weren't crisp and the nerves that I think took over for the Canadian team. They got to get rid of those now because New Zealand will come a little bit harder. They'll have the back storyline with John Herdman knowing this team very well, coming over from there to coach in Canada. You know, the players obviously are already motivated that it's the World Cup, and now they're playing John's new side, and they'll have that motivation. So they're going to come. They're going to know how John's prepared this team. There's no doubt about that. John will also help Canada in being prepared for what New Zealand brings. So, again, we'll see what happens, but I can guarantee you there won't be any sitting back. Canada will have to probably stretch the pitch a little bit more. I think maybe a few more long balls down the pitch just to try to stretch the D a little bit, maybe open up the midfield and then have some players popping into some holes and showing for pass. And against China, that was tough to do because they boxed it in and they were kind of playing like New Jersey Devils hockey, just not giving you a lot of room to move around. But once New Zealand presses, they're going to leave some holes behind them, and maybe you can take advantage of that once you get through the midfield and towards the back line.
It certainly seems like there's been, just in my experience, I'm not that experienced with soccer. I do enjoy watching it, typically just around the World Cup. That's why I'm enjoying this now, even with the Women's World Cup. It seems like there's been a lot of goals scored. Is that just because of the disparity between some of the teams in the pools, just within the pools themselves, or is it just, you know, they're just playing a fast, aggressive game as a whole throughout the whole women's tournament right now?
Yeah, you know what? I want to draw a bit of a parallel. I don't want anyone who's a supporter of women's football or soccer to take this the wrong way. But I, you know how I view this? I view it a little bit, at least at this tournament, because this tournament still is somewhat in its infancy with regards to other world events that we all follow. It's further along than women's hockey with respect to how many countries are competitive, but I think you've still got a number of countries that are in this tournament, and not as many in hockey, where you basically have Canada, U.S., and Sweden, Finland trying to catch up, and they are slowly on the ice. But, you know, on the pitch, as we saw the other day when Germany went out there and just laid a beating on a team, I think there are still some nations, And China, who's trying to get back to where they used to be, which they used to win a ton of games on the international scene before they fell off for the past few years, you probably still see some nations there that are going to have a tough time finding ways to score. And the teams that are better when you get to the, you know, the round of 16, you're going to start to see the real good teams come through there. And to get there, they might lay a bit of a beating on a couple of teams that are at the bottom of the pool. But, you know, I see this as a tournament. Again, this is a big step forward. It's continuing to grow. A lot of nations have had success over the past years, but, you know, we don't have a ton of champions at the Women's World Cup level. This is something that is still, as I say, relatively new.
Dan Dunleavy joins us, of course, the voice for the games. Canada, right here on TSN 1260, will be on Thursday at 7 p.m., and then next Monday they take on the Netherlands. The games have been fantastic. Moncton today wasn't great, and then Montreal and the Big O, you know, it looked empty, small crowd, and that's going to happen, yeah. You know, in some of those places. Edmonton's really blessed, A, because they got the first two Canada games, but then also, you know, we've got some other great matchups. I think Australia, Sweden later on, two top 10 teams ranked going at it. Overall, Dan, when you look at this, you know, the Women's World Cup, what needs to happen for this to be deemed a success at the end of the tournament, or do you think it already is?
Well, again, I think because this is a young tournament relative to other world events, I think that it's already a success because it's taken a bit of a step here. I mean, first of all, coming to Canada for the first time, that's something new. They're playing on an artificial or whatever kind of turf you want to call it. For the first time, that's a step. Whether a lot of people would deem that as a step backwards, but if the tournament comes out without a lot of complaints and everybody is on the playing side liking the pitch, I think you've taken a step forward. Maybe more countries, more cities could host this event going forward because of the success of this Canadian event. But I think to deem this, it depends where we're talking. I mean, when you've traveled the world and you've had a chance to do some events, and I'm sure you guys have been around the globe and watched sports elsewhere, you know, they deem a success in Sweden or in the Czech Republic or in Russia, you know, different, or Germany, in different ways than we do in North America. So if we're talking strictly North American, for this thing to be a success, everybody wants Canada versus USA. And I also, at the same time, don't think that that would be the worst thing for world football, because the general powers that be right now in soccer are pretty much correlated from the men's to the women's side. You know, in this tournament, you've got the U.S. who are building. You've got Germany who are a favorite. You have France who are a favorite. Brazil's a team to watch. The Mexican team's supposed to be getting better. So you have some familiar names and nations there from the men's to women's side. Obviously, the level of play and what have you is for everyone on their own to discuss where it's at. But I think for this thing to be a success here for us in North America, very selfishly speaking, is for somehow for Canada and USA to find a way to play an extremely meaningful game in this tournament once this first portion of the group play is over.
You know, you mentioned Canada-US. That would be the ultimate slap in the face to FIFA, considering they were one of the few nations that voted against Sepp Blatter.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm speaking very selfishly, and there's a history to that matchup too, right? Not long ago in the Olympics in 2012. So I think everyone in this country would love to see it. I also happen to think a lot of people around the world might like to see. You know, Canada won a lot of fans worldwide with what happened in 2012, not just here at home, but people who follow the game around the world. They know what happened. They know which call went which way back in those Olympic Games, and they know what Canada went through on the way to the bronze medal and the victory against France. So they got a break in the first game with getting that call in the extra time and Christine able to put it away and bury it for the 1-0 win. Now let's see where that takes the momentum for Canada going forward, and not just for the team and for the girls who we spoke with today a little bit before training, who admit they have to be better, by the way. We spoke with a few of them, Gareth Wheeler and myself. Mm-hmm. They all know they have to be better. But if they can improve, if they can keep this wave of this momentum going forward, I think if you have a host nation get to the final, and if they can play an arch rival, I think the entire world will watch that.
Dan, one last one. As a broadcaster, which opposing team has the most tongue twisters for names that you have to learn?
The first game was the toughest so far. I mean, the preparation to call Canada China was unique because I can't recall anything that I've had, certainly in my career yet, even being involved in Olympic Games, but certainly mostly with hockey. There hasn't been a roster with the names from China to pronounce and asking, all right, last name first name last, and then you got to get all the pronunciations right. So that was the biggest challenge, and if you're, you know, you're not going to listen back, but there was a lot of Canada chasing down the play, and China has possession in their own midfield, just because you're trying to make sure you don't want to disrespect anybody's family. You want to get the names pronounced right, and that's been the trickiest one so far. I suspect it's going to be a lot easier going forward.
Dan, we appreciate it. We will be tuning in, as will the entire country, as Canada takes on New Zealand on Thursday. Thanks for your time.
All right, guys. Thank you.